Miscellaneous and meeting debrief. We've got a few minutes. Do you have copies of the meeting dates for next calendar year? We're not going to even come close to deciding for a little while. These proposed meeting dates have not been vetted by staff yet. So it's just to start our thinking process. We set the agenda well ahead of time. I mean, we set the meeting dates, the calendar, well ahead of time so everyone can lock it in to their calendars. And you'll have no excuses if you don't object. We're trying to pay attention to opening days for various hunting and fishing seasons, although we goofed up on the sockeye today. But sometimes things can't be avoided. Things are opening all the time. But just take a look at those for future meetings. We'll discuss, bring to our attention any conflicts you might have. The other item that we needed to talk about a little bit is the October meeting. Our October meeting is scheduled for Friday, October 4th, and Saturday the 5th. We plan to have an orientation for new commissioners and old commissioners, because I think it's always a good idea for everyone to be refreshed in their memory of the laws that we operate under, the ethics rules, etc. So we have a challenge, though, in relation to the October meeting. We are contemplating, we're looking at dates with the tribes, with the Northwest Indian Fish Commission, because we'd like to have a meeting with them to discuss our co-management relationship. And we were looking possibly at the week after October, but that's not going to work. So, no. Tammy's going to be gone. She planned a vacation a while back. So we were wondering about Thursday the 3rd, the day before the commission meeting begins, and then we could have orientation on Saturday morning. We could just try to limit our other items to Friday and then do orientation Saturday morning. But what do you think, Dr. Anderson, the date, the Thursday before? Not that we don't have that date cleared with the tribes, obviously, but...
Well, I did exchange emails with Mike Graham yesterday about the week of the 8th, and they can do it the week of the 8th.
Oh.
I have no idea if they can do it. And we were talking about actually setting aside 2 days.
2 days. Okay.
I can ask them about that first week and see what their availability might be. I'll ask.
Okay, a complicating factor is that if we have it too close to our regular meeting, then we have the problem of where do we hold our regular meeting. If we were to go up to, what was it going to be, the Muckleshoot Casino?
I hadn't really talked about a location, but my assumption that it will be north of here, okay. Somewhere.
Wherever
I guess
we
the
are,
yeah. Here, let me, if okay. I could. So the venue that we're talking about, and I, understanding that it would be an open public meeting and there would need to be notice and all that kind of thing, but the idea was that we would have we would put together a panel of individuals, I don't know how many, 3 to 5 probably, that were instrumental in founding the co-management relationship between the state and the tribes, obviously dating back to the early 80s. To give some historic perspective on how the relationship between the state and the tribes was working at that point in time, and that it, I think the most everyone believed at that point in time it wasn't working, and we were constantly running to court, to the court advisor, asking him to resolve technical disputes, and we had multiple sub-proceedings under U.S. v. Washington, and all that chaos that was going on, and foregone opportunity claims and equitable adjustment claims and all that stuff. And so a bit of a depiction of what life is like without a co-management system that works, and therefore why a co-management system that does work is so important to both of us, both parties, both all the tribes and the state. Obviously, in the whatever it's been, 30 plus years since then, a lot of people have, I mean, there's been a lot of change in, obviously, in the Department of Fish and Wildlife staff and the leadership, same thing in the tribal communities, been lots of turnover with staff and all those kinds of changes. And so we feel like we've lost some of that historic perspective and therefore some of that, the value and understanding of how important it is to keep a healthy co-management relationship going. So this was going to, so again, thinking about the venue and the setup of the meeting, which I acknowledge we haven't completed yet, but we're thinking about having an audience setting, theater-style setting probably, that the commissioners would sit in, the tribal leadership would sit in, and so they would be listening to this presentation from the panel. There would be some interaction of it, so that we can kind of set the foundation that co-management was built on. And then from that point, we wanted to then start from, well, what has happened over the course of time that has put us into the position where some of us that were around at that time think that our co-management relationship is in serious trouble? And why do we think that? What's kind of the problem statement? And then how do we go about setting out, it's not going to happen with a light switch, but it does take a recommitment on the part of everybody if we're going to try to rebuild the co-management, the spirit of co-management, the spirit of, I'm going to say, compromise and negotiation that kind of led to and that a successful co-management relationship is founded in. So it's not going to be a setup where there's going to be a table like this where our commissioners are going to be sitting up here in front of microphones. That's not what we're talking about. And so I'm both presenting this, these kinds of forum and venue setup so you can visualize what we're talking about, but also asking the question of and looking to Bill Freymeyer that, in that kind of a venue, does it all have to be recorded? Does everybody have to be speaking into a mic? What are the requirements of the commission to record this kind of a meeting where all the commissioners or most of the commissioners are present, but not in a venue like this where we've got specific microphones and for each commissioner, and we're recording everything that happens in terms of public testimony and staff presentations? What do we need to do in terms of documenting the meeting? I mean, it will be publicized as a meeting, but obviously the venue is going to be much different than what a regular meeting of the commission will be. And I'm asking that because, in part, because I'm understanding that our executive assistant isn't going to be here during that second week of October. Is that not that wouldn't be great to have her there, but does that mean that the second week is out? The fact that we don't have that capability, and that's the question I want to ask.
Okay. Good question. Bill, are you ready to answer the first part about to what extent we have to record if all commissioners are present but members of an audience?
I don't have the exact statute with me that relates to the recording. My memory of it is that under the Public Meetings Act, you need to keep minutes of the meeting. I don't think it says you need to have a transcript of the meeting, but I can confirm that either right away or Monday and get back to you. So I don't think it is an actual tape. There may be other reasons, you know, that it's good sometimes to have it recorded, but...
And I'm anticipating we're going to probably have I don't know how many people in the room we're going to have, 50, 40, something. We want to have senior staff from tribal entities, the tribal senior leadership folks. So I don't know exactly how many people we're talking about. But my guess is that whatever room we're in, we're likely to have to use microphones, PA systems, which means we could come up with a way to record it.
Yeah.
Or we have certainly staff within the agency that we could ask to come and record, you know, not word for word minutes, but keep track of the discussion and the presentations that were made so that we'd have a record, i.e. minutes, of the meeting to ensure that we're compliant with the requirements under the Open Public Meetings Act.
So you envision 2 days?
What the tribes are envisioning. I think that's a
2 days
tall order.
Yeah.
And so I think I'm going to need some help from Commissioner Schmitten again to kind of probably by phone to get on the phone with Mike and whomever else would be kind of on their planning team. Building an agenda and doing that over the next 2 to 3 weeks or something like that.
Okay.
So
we want to. I think that makes sense. To then, does anyone have a conflict during that week in October?
Just I'll be gone the third.
And I know. Oh, sorry. And Commissioner Smith said he would be gone that week.
Yeah.
I can explore the Thursday if that was.
Might as well throw it out there because
I can explore that and see if that's a possibility we've all got cars, but if it was held, you know, at a casino or someplace venue like that north of here, then when we were done we would drive down here and stay here the night of Thursday and be ready to go for our commission meeting on Friday or something like that. So
that's the concept.
But it might require, I'm thinking, especially if it's 1 day, especially for those of you that will need to travel to get there, I'm assuming we'll have a probably a Wednesday night hotel piece to go with it so that you can be there when the meeting starts.
Okay. Good. I guess that's all we can do at this point until you figure out more with the tribes. All right. Any other business before? No other business? Then we can adjourn. Thank you, everyone. Safe travels home. 7 hours. Cheers.